Just want to again extend greetings to you this morning in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. May His grace, peace, and mercy be upon each one as we follow Him. This morning I want to talk about faith. It's one of the words, faith, that has just been completely twisted out of what it actually means by modern Christianity. Modern Christianity has completely taken it, that word, and just ran away with it and left the real meaning of that word. Words mean something. They represent something. You can say certain words and your mind just goes in a whole, just saying one word and your mind just starts painting pictures. And if that word you speak represents something different, love, for example, whenever you would mention the word love to the world, they've got their definition of love off the radio or off of television or off the movies, where this special reaction happens between two people that meet each other and both of them just feel wonderful. They make each other feel wonderful. Instead of what love really is. Love is not selfish, worried about how I feel. Love is committing myself, being faithful. Love is, as far as Jesus is concerned, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. It doesn't say you have a special feeling towards Jesus that just is so wonderful and fuzzy feeling. Love is a choice. That's just one of the words. Faith is one of those words. Whenever you talk about faith, to the world, that word begins an image of just having imagination in nothing. Just imagining that you have something that you don't have. That's not what faith is. Faith to the modern church has become picking out a promise that you like and just saying, God, give it to me. God, you said you'd give it to me. Give it to me. And the more forceful you can be with that, the more it appears that you have faith. But that is not what faith is. That's presumption. Faith is when you hear God and you pursue that voice of God in your heart and life that's given to us through His Word. That verse, that stanza this morning that we sang about, must I be carried to the cross on flowery or beds of ease while others sailed, fought through bloody seas. And then it goes on and says in the end, or in one of the stanzas, it says, supported. I'm going to live by faith, supported by your words. By your word. There's a lot of people have faith in the Bible. But their trust, it seems, is in the Bible. not in the Christ of the Bible or the God of the Bible. There's a lot of people have faith in their faith. The Bible and the faith are the supports of our faith. As we carry them out, they encourage us, they strengthen us. When God gives us direction, He offers His proposal to us, and we follow that by faith. In Matthew chapter 9, let's just start in Hebrews here. Hebrews chapter 11. And we want to come back there. That song we sang, the last phrase, God is His own interpreter. Real blessing also. To us, sometimes it looks like providence is a big dark cloud, but it said that behind that cloud there's a God with a smiling face. There's a friendly face behind that big dark cloud. Faith looks beyond the big dark cloud. Faith looks beyond the big giant standing out there talking boldly. And a young man just coming along to check on his brothers hears that giant and steps up and say, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine?" Faith is Daniel looking into the lion's den and saying, "I'm going to trust in God." Faith is getting ready to be thrown in the fiery furnace, and saying, "If God wills that we be devoured, so be it. We're going to trust Him anyway." And there's a God with a smiling countenance behind all of those fearful things. Faith overcomes this world. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. Now faith is the substance of things not seen. It has something to it. It's the substance of things hoped for. It produces something. Faith produces something. And it's the evidence, it's the proof of things that cannot be seen. It's the proof that there's someone smiling behind that dark cloud. Now let's go back to Matthew. Chapter 8. I want to go back there too, but and he entered into a ship and passed over and came to his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, It's the evidence of things hoped for. Jesus saw their faith. I think this is the example where they had broken in the roof because they couldn't get to Him. And they lowered this man down through the roof. Right in the middle of a whole packed house. And Jesus looked up, seeing their faith. The man didn't just lay away in his house somewhere waiting for Jesus to come by. He said, let's go find Him. And let's get to Him, whatever it takes. The woman that had the issue of blood in the throng of people crowded round about Him, she said, if I could just get a hold of that garment. She was sick. But she pressed through the crowd and she found Him. Faith. Verse 22 in chapter 9. That's where that comes from, where the woman with the issue. He said, thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. One thing that amazes me in the Bible, Jesus healed everyone that got a hold of Him. Everyone that reached out by faith to Jesus was healed or delivered. That came to Him in the Bible. That doesn't mean that everyone that came to Him was saved. That doesn't mean everyone that came to Him became a disciple, became a true follower. But God is good. A lot of times we put a lot of emphasis on faith and obedience. We put a lot of emphasis on showing our faith by our obedience. But there's still something to just having pure old faith in God. Trusting after we've obeyed. Walking. In Hebrews 10 there, the last part of chapter 10. It says, the just shall live by faith. Their faith was real, and it produced real things. But it was by faith. It was looking past that dark cloud and going on anyway. It was looking past the giants and going on anyway. Wasn't cowering behind some problem, something too big. Faith is coupled with the people that had, if they would put as much emphasis on their claiming promises as fulfilling what God requires for that claim, people would have all kinds of faith. We could actually move some mountains. There's two sides, it seems. There's a faith that many people have and something's false. And it's amazing how great that faith can be in something that's false. Just almost unshakable that you could present truth right in front of them and they still have faith in what's false. If we could have that much faith in what we know is right, what a glorious thing. Let's go to James. Chapter 2. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if they're coming to you in assembly, if you're coming to your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect unto him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, Sit thou here in a good place. And say to the poor, Stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the Scriptures, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect of persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, Do not commit adultery, said also, Do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye and do so as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and not works? Can faith save him? Can faith save him? I believe the answer would be no. Our faith has to have substance behind it. If it's real faith, it has substance behind it. It has real faith, produces such evidence that people can look and say, He has faith. There's real faith. There's something to see there. It's not just talk. It's not just pretending you have something when you don't have it. Faith is following, living, walking with God. And there's evidence all over the place about it. So much evidence that people hate it. They hate it. And they'll try anything they can do to tear it down. They'll try anything they can do to take you, tear you from the skies, as the song we sang about this morning. To try to bring it down. They'll speak evil against it. They'll plot against it. They'll do everything they can. Why? Because they see it. Because it's not just something that you've got a real strong imagination. It's because they actually see something in your life. And it's begun to produce evidence that cannot be refuted. And so they begin to try to tear it down. And the thing about it is, as soon as they begin to tear it down, sadly, that's when faith is tested. And that's when it begins to stumble and fall in many cases. But that's where faith really needs to come out and shine. That's where faith really begins to produce fruit. And evidence is whenever it's getting tore down. That's when it begins to work and manifest itself. Whenever it begins to find some real opposition, then it can really begin growing. But the problem is, as soon as the things get a little tough and I can't see through that dark cloud anymore, that's when I just fall down and give up. That's when I want to quit. Faith don't begin until you're ready to quit. Until you're beat down to where you are ready to quit. That's where faith starts. He that endures to the end. It's a hard road to heaven. Because you don't even start to get there until you're beat, till you can't even think you can get up again. And then your faith kicks in. And that mountain that was set before you that you took out there with a little bitty shovel and began to dig on to move, when it just, you dug until you just, it's useless to dig one more step. You just keep on and digging. And pretty soon that mountain is moved. If a brother or sister be naked, verse 15, and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Faith, just picking out a promise and saying, God, give it to me, is dead, being alone. You know what? You may even think you get what you picked out. You may even get some of the blessings of that promise just because you picked it out. But it'll be to the detriment of your own soul. The promises that God gives are always coupled with you having to take faith and change or do something in your life. to receive it. It's a covenant. The blood of the covenant of Christ is a twofold covenant. You have your part and He has His. He sealed His part with His blood. That's the purpose of the blood. To show, this is what I'm putting in my covenant, what are you putting in yours? The sacrifices that were given, they weren't to appease God. They were the seal of the covenants that He was making with us. In Hebrews it talks about the blood of Christ. He sealed that covenant with His own blood. He signed it in His own blood. Would be a way maybe to understand it. I mean, I'm putting my life on these promises. If you will do your part. That's the confidence we have in the Lord. He's already fulfilled His part. And He will deliver that to us if we will have faith in Him. Verse 18, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Jesus saw their faith. Hebrews says, faith has evidence. James said, look at my faith. I'll show you my faith by my works. My faith produces something that can be seen. My faith produces encouragement to the Christian and fear to the world. The world's scared to death of faith. They hate it. They're scared to death of faith. In Proverbs it says, one will chase 1,000, and five will chase 10,000. Why? Because the world is scared to death of faith. It's so funny how fearful people are. It takes a mob before any of them get enough guts to say anything. I don't know how many times, but it's just hilarious to watch someone sitting in a car at a stop sign. And they want to say something, and they're ready to say something, and the car begins to roll before they ever say anything. They stop at the stop sign, and they look over at us. The car begins to roll, and they're starting to move forward, and they start to yell something at us, and then a person steps out, and they hit their brakes, and the car stops, and the passenger shuts up just immediately. And then the car starts to roll again and they get taken off and then they yell something. They're scared to death. But they wait until there's a big crowd gathered around them so they can feel a little more secure. Faith produces things. It has evidence behind it. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. The devils know about God and they tremble. Do we? Bible says those that fear God's word, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When we realize who God is, we ought to pick up His word and tremble at His word. I think that's the problem in the world. People have gotten all the pearls, the promises. There's no fear of God in their eyes. There's no faith. Other than just picking out all these promises that God's going to give us. That's not faith. That's hoping for a genie. Titus, where it talks about the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching them that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, they should live righteously, soberly, and godly in this world. Right there is the beginning of faith. Faith starts without the Bible. Believe that. Faith doesn't even have to have a Bible. Don't have to understand all the theologies to have faith. Faith, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. All men don't have a Bible. But that grace that brings salvation has appeared to them. And it's trying to teach them to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. And to live righteously and soberly and godly in this present world. You don't have to have a Bible to understand grace if you hear it and have faith. The Bible will give us clear directions, and we do need it, and we do love it, and we do trust what it says. But you can believe this book all you want. And if you're not denying ungodliness and worldly lust and living righteously and soberly and godly in this world, you do not have faith. Because faith is believing in God. The first step, the grace that brings salvation. Even the song, Amazing Grace, 'twas grace that taught my heart to fear. It's God trying to teach your heart to fear. It's pretty interesting. Last night in one of our conversations we were talking, and of course everyone accuses us of condemnation, condemning everyone. And as we were talking about that and explaining it to a man last night, it just... why was Jesus having to explain about condemnation to Nicodemus? Nicodemus came to him by night, and I can just imagine the conversation that Nicodemus had with Jesus. Jesus, I think eternity will prove this right. Jesus, I know you're God. I know you're a great teacher. Why are you condemning everyone? Your message is not anything but condemnation. And so Jesus set him down and he said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth on Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." I didn't come to condemn the world. I came to deliver it. But men love darkness rather than light. That's why they're condemned. Read that whole thing there in John. John 3. Get into verse 20, 21, 22. That condemnation that the world felt was because they seen faith. And it condemned their false faith. Nicodemus saw what was real, and he was condemned by it. So Jesus had to explain what condemnation meant to him. Why else would he have to explain about condemnation? Because he knew what men felt whenever they heard him preaching. Real faith scares people to death. It condemns their phoniness. But instead of repenting and having faith themselves, they defend their phoniness and just say, "Oh, you're just condemning us. You're offering no hope. Because your hope doesn't fit my little mold of faith." Verse 20, "But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? seeth thou that faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? They saw it. It had substance. It had evidence. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. There's where your faith makes up for your lack. When you're doing everything that you know to do, faith comes along and fills in the gaps. It's not the other way around. Just talking with someone else this week. Christianity, modern Christianity, is only 180 degrees off. If it was 90 degrees off, it would be easy just to go out there and say, you're wrong. It would cut right across the grain. Modern Christianity is 180 degrees off. They're on the right road. They're going the wrong way. On the right road. They look up and see the highway marker. It's the same road number. They use the same scriptures. They're saying the same thing. They're just headed the wrong way. You'll find that true in everything they teach. They look in the rearview mirror and they say, to heaven. There's the sign. But the sign's pointing that way and they're going that way. It's upside down. Their faith says, Lord, I believe the blood will wash me and cleanse me. And so they head on that way and they run away from the fear of God. Instead of running toward the fear of God and the blood cleansing them, instead of hearing by faith the grace that brings salvation, teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, they run away from that because that's condemnation. And they start picking out these promises out of nowhere. They're going the same direction, or they're going the same path, just the wrong road or wrong direction. They pick out the promises instead of having faith and walk the road. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Is dead also. If faith is not yielded into walking in obedience to the Lord, they're talking about faith, but they're floating right downstream instead of swimming up it. They're taught not to swim up it. They're taught to float down as fast as you can. And that makes you higher. They're on the same road, 180 degrees off. It's That's why it's so difficult to try to talk to someone who's been given the pearls of the gospel and trying to convince them about the fear of God. They rejected that from the very beginning. And so now they take the pearls of the gospel and turn around and try to eat you alive with it. Faith. Do we really have it? Jesus said, "When I return, will I find faith on the earth?" See, we can do all these things that are right to do. We ought to be doing them. Then we still have to have faith. Why are we doing them? Because we believe God. How many times did Jesus say, "Oh, ye of little faith"? Matthew 8, they were in a storm, a perilous storm. They were in jeopardy. They said, "Master, don't you care that we perish?" He woke up, got up, said, "Peace, be still," and the seas became calm. He said, "Oh, ye of little faith." Just this one little bit of trouble, and here you are crying and whining and ready to turn back already, scared to death. Real faith begins when there's big clouds looming in the sky. When it looks like there's no hope, that's where real faith starts. That's when people give up and quit. Say it's too hard. Say the giants are too big. Right now, if you're facing a giant, there's a big smiling God behind that terrible looking cloud. Now's the time for your test of faith. Now's the time. That you can have faith in God. You've done what you're supposed to be doing. Now comes time to trust and just keep on doing. That's when evidence starts popping out all over that you've got faith. And the more people see it, the more they'll believe that you don't have it. The more they would rather destroy you than to follow you. Faith is enemy of the world. But it's more real than this world. It has more substance than this world. It produces more evidence than this world. that faithless eyes, the things that faithless eyes see. Those with faith see much more. Come, brethren, let us go. The evening closeth round. 'Tis perilous to linger here on this wild desert ground. Take courage as you wend on towards eternity. From strength to strength your course shall be, and blessed at last your end. We shall not grieve our choice, though straight our path and steep. We know that he who called us here, his word shall ever keep. Then follow, trusting, come, and let each set his face toward yonder fair and blessed place, intent to reach our home. The body and the house deck not, but deck the heart. With all your powers we are but guests, ere long we must depart. Ease brings disease, content. Howe'er this his lot may fall, a pilgrim bears and bows to all, for soon his time is spent. Come, children, let us go. Our Father is our guide, and when the way grows steep and dark, he journeys at our side. Our spirits he would cheer. The sunshine of his love revives and helps us when, as we rove, ah, blessed, our lot is here. For this all things we dare, 'tis worth the risk, I know, renouncing all that blocks our course or weighs us down below. O world, thou art too small, we seek another way, where Christ doth guide us day by day, and God is all and all. May God grant us the grace and the faith and the mercy to rise up and follow Him. Jesus, we come before you and we just want to thank you for your goodness, for these blessed words of encouragement. Lord, these examples of faith in your word, Lord, that you've given to us. Lord, we just pray you'd help us, Father, as we wend our way through this wicked world. It's not our friend. It's not a friend of grace. Lord, that we'd be pilgrims and strangers in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.